Welcome to the Icon Athlete Podcast. This is Chris Spieler, an Icon Athlete has been a passion of mine since transitioning from competition. My goal is to provide you with a broad range of information to help a variety of CrossFit athletes and coaches. From the most elite to the weekend warrior, the affiliate owner, and anyone in between, I want to provide you with education, inspiration, and hopefully some entertainment along the way.
We're back in the gym. Deal with it. I'm grumpy. Back off. You got a problem with the noise? Shut her down.
I don't think anybody does, honestly.
Nah. Because we're mostly a podcast. Just, we're the podcast about nothing.
Mostly it's just me.
Yeah. Welcome back, though. We're back. You guys are back. It's been a week. We're back in our zero gravity chairs. Just kind of.
I like how things have adopted that term, like it's zero gravity chair.
Which is not true.
There's nothing about it is zero gravity.
It's the same amount of gravity.
It's the exact same amount. The exact same amount of gravity.
Nothing's changed. It's just that I'm laying back slightly. They are comfortable.
Pet peeve right off the bat.
Oh, I got one too, buddy.
Flat earthers.
Oh, man. Get out of town. Do you want like flat earthers or like conspiracy theorists in general? Just flat earthers.
Flat earthers. Yeah. Because some of those conspiracy theories
might have some. Yeah, I could go with that. Yeah.
Hey, the earth is not shaped like a pizza with a giant ice wall that holds the oceans in on the outside of it. And then someone's going to say, give me some proof. Someone's going to say, when you fly in a plane, you don't have to fly with the curve of the earth. Like, oh my gosh, my head's going to explode. So just if you're listening and you're a flat earther, I want you to send a detailed email to Chris at CrossFitPC.com.
Which I'll promptly delete.
About why the earth is indeed flat.
Here's my pet peeve off the bat. Okay, and this is like a thing here now, and it makes me feel old, okay, because I can see that my kids enjoy this, and I just don't get it. And I remember being a kid and being like, I like this. Why don't you get a dad about stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Is it TikTok?
No, it's these YouTube families that like video themselves. Have you seen this stuff?
No, I don't have kids, so I'm insulated from some complete ridiculousness.
There's like these people that video themselves doing these terrible like mock. It's so horrible, man.
What would I have to look at? Let's just send them some business. What is it?
These people have like millions of subscribers. Millions.
What is it? And what do they do?
They basically like have their kids. They could be everything from like a Nerf war, you know, like they're like the dad's like the bad guy, like walking around
acting like
yes, and the kids are like, and then they put these like ridiculous sound effects, like they make the Nerf gun sound like an actual gun, like
you.
And I am like. And they're just in their house. They're in their random house. And these people do this for a living and make like.
Now, are your kids like, let's do this now?
I've asked them. What's funny? No. And plus, I would be immediately like, no. But I've asked them, like, why? Like, what do you like about this? I don't even understand. This is like. And they're like, I think they're just like, I don't know. It's just kind of fun to watch. Like. It's like that, and my son also enjoys sometimes. We don't have an Xbox or a PlayStation, but kids get plenty on the computer these days. Holy
sure,
crap.
Yeah, it's not like when we were kids.
Yeah, right? But he will also watch people play video games. So he'll watch guys
dude.
Play Madden.
That's a real thing.
It's ridiculous. It is absurd to me that people make substantial amounts of income by playing a video game and then people watching it on YouTube.
There's a platform called Twitch. Have you ever heard of this?
No, don't go to it. Anyone. No, I can tell already. Don't go to it.
It's a platform for you to watch gamers. To watch people play video games.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, I don't know, if you're into video games and you want to like learn about it, I don't know, maybe. Okay. But like the whole like family YouTube Nerf War. There's a whole one, and how crazy is this? Nothing against you guys if you're listeners, but which I doubt they are. But one of these families lives in Utah, down in like the Draper area. Oh, and geez. You can tell because of like the scenery and stuff like that.
Oh, geez.
They had a whole series of the Grinch during Christmas time and their kids and like, it's weird, man. It is, just
so
weird.
I mean, this is going to come as a shock to you and all of our three listeners, but that is so 100% not me.
Oh, and here's the thing is, guess what? Your 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, whatever they are, someday they're going to be 18 and be like, that's permanently on forever, the interwebs.
Oh, man.
And I have the whole world.
I have like
looking at my youth.
I have like picture books at home from when I was 10, 11, 12, and guess where they stay?
At home.
Yeah. Like there's locked reason. Up.
Yeah.
So no one can see that because I don't want people to see that.
Now, imagine people seeing that, but like, you know how like you had a really embarrassing moment as a kid you look back to and you thought, I had this weird habit, or, you know, remember that time I was acting funny in front of my family and I was like dancing around?
Yeah.
Now, do that all day, every day, and have it released to millions of people. Hey, kids, if you're listening and your parents are making you do this, ask some questions.
I hope they make enough to pay the therapy bills.
Yeah, exactly, right?
We're just going to use this extra money for college and mostly for therapy.
And these kids will be like, you hit like, thanks for watching. We just hit 1 million subscribers. I'm like, you hit 1 million subscribers by running around your yard with a Nerf gun and spraying people with a hose?
Yeah, I can't handle it. I mean, I'll spray kids with the hose in my yard for free.
If they ever come by my house, I'm going to spray them with the hose. I'm going to shoot them with a BB gun. Just kidding. Pet peeve right off the bat. Wow.
What's going on in the fitness world?
In the fitness world, we just got through the strength and depth.
Yes, that's right. That's the
London
thing.
Hey, guess who won,
thing.
Doug?
Yeah, no doubt.
Anybody guess?
Matt Chan.
Bob Horsworth.
Bob Horsworth.
It was actually Matt Fraser.
Oh. Guess what?
Oh, gosh.
And didn't they have like prize?
Which, by the way, if you guys can name the movie that Bob Horsworth is from, I'll send you a free Spiel t-shirt. If you can name it, because I know right now where it's from. Name the movie where it's from, and I will give you a free t-shirt. I'll send
it to
you.
And I'll autograph
it
on the
shipping
inside
on me.
So it doesn't ruin
send
it.
Send us an leave it in the review. Go ahead, keep going.
Wasn't there like prize money on the line for some of those events as well, like individual events?
I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. It's when I looked at that, I was kind of poking around at the leaderboard because James was there and Bruce was there. Congrats to Bruce, our Masters guy.
Yeah,
second place.
Crushing
PR
it.
Bruce. And I got to give credit to James. James went out there kind of sick. He had tweaked his back a little bit beforehand and had gotten sick while he was there. And I think this shows a lot of maturity from an athlete, and also I feel really bad for him. He ended up pulling out of the competition the last day because of his back, and I was like, hey, man, I know that's not what you wanted, and that's really hard, but that shows a ton of maturity as an athlete, and that's going to pay dividends in the long run. Like, if you guys are ever in that situation, whether it's a local comp or – you know, even the very highest end, or you're knocking on the door going to the CrossFit Games or whatever, at some point it might be wise to step back and pull out so you can live a normal life for the next 60 years.
Yeah.
So for those of you that have done that and have had to do that, kudos to you for being smart.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Fraser won like a champ wins.
Yeah.
I mean, just stomped people, I believe, I think.
I'll double check. I want to say when I was looking, it was the typical thing where, you know, he's like the guy that does really well across all, so he might not be in first at one point.
Yeah.
But by the end of the weekend, it's like trumping people by a
trying to see what the prize money was. Yeah. Who won the girls?
I'm going to pull it up now.
I think it was Laura Horvath.
Was it?
I think.
Oh, Laura Horvath. Let's find. Oh, hang on. Let me go back here.
That is what I think, Laura
Leaderboard.
Horvath. There she comes.
It looks like they're sponsored by Porsche. Did you see
Are
that?
They?
Did you just see the Porsche thing come up?
Stop.
It just said Porsche. Hey, strength and depth. If you want to send us one, let us know. Yeah, Laura Horvath. She won. It looks like she won by just over 20 points.
What did Matt Fraser
Haley
win by?
Haley Adams. How about that? She's like that teen, you know, that's no longer a teen.
They sent one to the games, right? This is the winner, Ghost?
I think so.
So second place, Ghost, from
the men's?
From the men, because Matt's already got an invite.
So male elite, Matt Fraser, David Shornuk. From CrossFit Kung Shulman. Looks like Great Britain. But he looks like he was second. Fraser got 612 points. Mm-hmm. And David, mm-hmm. good job, buddy, 496.
Whoa. I mean, I don't mean to laugh because he beat me by 612 points.
Right.
But
but that's crazy.
It's crazy.
And it looks like third was Lucas Hogberg.
Was there a team comp?
Yeah, it said to for the affiliate cup leaderboard, click here. I'm clicking. It's going. CrossFit Nottingham.
Nottingham.
CrossFit Nottingham Limited. They won 413 points.
Anybody else we know on there?
It looks like a lot of these are European.
Euros.
Yeah, euro.
Is that a derogatory term when I call people euros?
No. Yes. No. How about this for a funny story? I was in Belgium.
Eating
for
waffles.
For a seminar. They were delicious, actually. It's a real thing, people. Belgian waffles are real, and they are delicious. Do you know why?
Because they put
sugar
in them.
They're laced with sugar.
Yeah.
But so I was in Belgium by myself. It was really thrilling to be there by myself.
Ooh, that's sad and, sometimes.
Yeah, and ended up meeting some other guys there, and they were the translators. And one of them, I think actually both of them, had never been to the U.S. before. Mm-hmm. But they're, like, pretty versed, you know.
Never had American waffles.
Yeah. Like, they'd been all over Europe and stuff. And even some of them had lived in, like, South America. But I asked them, I was like, hey, we had walked around the city that night. We were at dinner.
You were in Brussels?
I think so, yeah.
Famous for their sprouts.
That's good. And I asked them, I said, hey, you're not going to offend me. What's the typical stereotype of American that you have?
Yeah.
And I think they were pretty spot on. They said, you know, kind of loud,
yeah,
a little cocky,
me
yeah, and fat,
and also me.
And I was like, okay, I could see that, you know, especially like the loud and cocky, the more I was around it,
yeah,
you know, you see like groups of people,
yeah,
and they were like, well, what, you know, what's your stereotype of Europeans? And we had just walked through
like they were tight clothes
street party,
and they
rave
are always smoking.
Yeah, they had this street party rave where people were, like, all dressed up in tight clothes and
yep.
weird stuff and flashy stuff, like costumes and all this stuff, techno music and glow sticks. And I just looked over and I pointed at it, and I was like, that is Europe. And they were like, what? I was like, right there is all of Europe.
That whole scene.
That's it. And they were like, really? And I was like, it's actually happening before our eyes right now.
Yeah, how do you...
While I'm being loud and obnoxious about it. So it was pretty funny. Yeah. But congrats to those of you guys that made it. Strength and depth. You. More sanctionals coming up. I'm not exactly sure where or when, but they're coming down the pipeline. Wadapalooza's coming up soon. That's
the
end of February.
WZA. That's end February, right?
Yeah.
Now, all these just get to send one. No, none of these are sending more than one, right?
That, to my understanding, yes.
Okay. And no one doubles up. You can't, like your country spot comes first, mm-hmm. and then your open placement or something like that comes second, and then your sanctional finish comes third?
I believe so.
So Matt Fraser's just making money.
Pretty much.
Right?
And
training.
You know what's funny is I spoke with him. This was not last. So I wasn't unable to go to the trail run last year, but the year before that, and he had won three. And I even told him, I was like, hey, Matt. At the time, he was like, you know, going to win his fourth. And I was like, hey, I know some people are like, man, I wish someone else would win. Mm-hmm. And I just told him, I was like, hey, I think it's awesome. Like, keep stomping people into the ground.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's honestly my favorite part of the CrossFit games now. Is that he just destroys people.
And so I asked him, I was like, so what's the plan? You know, how much longer do you think you're going to do it? Because he's a smart dude, and he's got an engineering degree, I think,
yeah.
right?
And he's made significant money. I mean, he's not like a trizillionaire.
No, but
he's got.
And he was just honest with me. He was like, you know, he's like, right now, he just straight up was like, right now the money's just too good.
Yeah.
He said, I'm just going to keep doing this for as long as I can. He's like, it'd be silly not to do it right
sure
now.
Sure it would.
I'm just leave, keep doing that. Keep smashing people into the ground with thrusters and sprints.
I mean, what do you make to win the games? $250?
Yeah. And then that's like, it's $250,000 every year, and that doesn't include any of his sponsors.
Yeah, that's no sponsorship.
There's got to be six figures
easily
for, like,
that.
Multiple.
Or double that.
Yeah.
And then you win all these little competitions.
Yeah.
I mean,
rather,
making a
what,
10 20 grand.
Grand, 40 grand, 10 grand. I don't know if you guys know, but if you add those up, it turns into a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
I learned this past weekend that he and I share a birthday.
Do you? Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, Doug Zakakaris, Zaz, Doug Zakaris, turned 40 years old
40.
On January 25th, this past Saturday. Guess what he did for his birthday, guys? Worked a seminar.
Go ahead. I'll let you guess.
Worked a seminar.
I went to work.
For his 40th birthday.
Yeah, I'm going to use the money to go to France.
That's cool, though. Yeah. Doug, just so you guys know, Doug didn't invite me to France. He invited his wife instead, which is probably smart. But I'll tell you what, we would have had a lot of fun if we
I invited you to France. I said, we stood right over by the reverse hyper and I was like, hey, you want to go to France?
Really?
Yes.
And you're like, you're right. You're and I was like, I can't.
You're like, I can't.
I have kids.
Yeah.
I do remember
I was like,
that.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I have kids and I have a wife as well who's now sitting next to me waving at me, giving me kind of a loving look.
Matt Fraser and I share a birthday.
Hey, happy
he's
birthday, Matt Fraser.
He's 10 years younger than I am. He's 30.
He's 30.
I'm 40.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Let's read a review because we do have one. It's from Coach Back to Athlete. 5 stars from Jay Ashland. Hey, guys, love the show. A question I've been grappling with, and I would appreciate your input. I've been coaching for about 7 years now as a side gig to my main job. I coach 7 classes 6 days per week. Wow.
What?
That's your side job? I coach 7 classes 6 days per week.
Does that mean he coaches 7 classes in a week and only works 6 of those days? So I'm confused.
Oh, maybe it's a class a day, about.
Oh, okay.
During this time, my career has allowed me to coach more for enjoyment than out of necessity. I enjoy coaching, but I've decided to stop when my wife goes back to teaching in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
In order to spend time with my family, I have to work out in the morning. Right now, I work out at 4 a.m. by myself and coach the 5 a.m. class.
So brutal.
What time do you get to bed? Like 5 p.m.? My question is, if I'm going to stop coaching, is there a way to stay at the same gym and even become just an athlete in the 5 a.m. class?
Sure.
In the rare occasion I attend another class, athletes will always ask for my help.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
like my gym and my owner, but I'm trying to keep up with my physical goals and not be exhausted when my son and daughter want to play in the evening. Smart man.
Yeah,
there
you can stay.
There are other boxes around, but they're not really my jam. Any thoughts would be appreciated. 100% you can stay.
Yeah, it's just going to take people a while to realize that you're not coaching there anymore. You're going to have to deal with like the, hey, can you help me with this? You're going to have to deal with that for like a year.
Yeah, but we've had people do that here. Shannon's a good example.
Yeah.
Shannon, she coached here for about 2 years, I would say. And then she got really busy with some nutrition stuff that she does and ended up just having to step away. And she and her husband are a member of the gym, and they're great.
Yeah.
And it's been a far enough distance now where people aren't like, Shannon, I need help with this and that. But it wasn't weird for us at all.
And you can always – I'm bad at this, but you can always just, like, not be a jerk and let people know. Like, hey, could you sell me this T-shirt and be like, oh, sorry, I can't. I don't have access to that anymore. I'm not coaching anymore. Or like, could you give me advice about this? Like, sure.
Yeah, totally.
And in the future, maybe ask Chris. He's the coach.
Yeah, and it's honestly just out of like friendly
yeah.
help. It'll turn into the same thing that you see other people do where it's like, hey, why don't you try this? Or great job. Or, you know, you can do it. Try that. But it's just that you're more experienced. So
I'm just excited that you don't have to work out at 4 a.m. anymore.
Oh, my gosh, me too.
You know
I don't
early that is?
Function at that time.
4?
Ooh, that's crazy.
Four
I mean, that means
crazy.
You're up at like, what?
3:15? 3:30?
To get to the gym?
Depends how far you
are. 3:30? If you go to bed at 9, that's only 6 hours of sleep.
That's crazy.
What? I mean, that's awesome.
And what do you do? You do that in the summer. You go to bed at 8:15. It's like the birds are chirping.
Your
kids are flying kites out there.
Your neighbor's grilling his burgers.
the neighbor's kids are like knocking wiffle balls off your window.
I'm sleeping. Keep it down, kids.
Go to bed with your sunglasses on.
I'm asleep for 2 hours. You just woke me up. Oh, man. That's tough. Well,
I think absolutely you can do that.
Yeah, I agree. And way to do it, like, and make it happen.
Make it happen. Making it happen.
That's cool. Let's see here. Okay, another one. This is Coaching Certs with a 5-star review from Emily's review. Hey, another female listener. Hello, Chris and Dave.
Hi.
I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now. I love it. I find myself laughing out loud in my car. People at the stoplights must think I'm weird. I've recommended your podcast to a few people now, notably my husband. Hey, husband.
Hey, hello.
And then she says, lol, laugh out loud. That means she's laughing out loud. I think I've mentioned it so much, he has told me, why don't you just marry Chris Spieler? That's good. Okay. In all seriousness, I wanted to ask a question. By the way, I'm probably girl listener number 10 or whatever the number is now. I think it's only 4, but that's good. I know there are far more women listening to your podcast. Send a review, ladies, represent. All right, back to my question. I was wondering your thoughts on coaching accreditation. Is it more beneficial to obtain all the coaching certifications so you look more knowledgeable, or can experience be enough? Mm-hmm. I've worked with both coaches who have extensive experiences with little charisma in their group classes and coaches with only their level 1 who can articulate the movement to any level. I'm working on my certifications now and find it costs a bit of money. Part of me feels my charming attitude and experience will lead my way. On the other hand, having your credentials allows me to have some credibility. Thought? Anyway,
yeah.
I look forward to many more podcasts, and I'm sorry that your podcast can't be called Icon anymore. I wonder if you can do a play on letters like Icon Athlete. Emily. So we've maybe touched about this. Here's some insight to you guys. I thought the same thing, Emily. I got my CrossFit level 1 in 2007.
Seven.
And 2007, I think. And I thought to myself, you know, I want to open an affiliate and I need to look smart. So I should go get like a certification that somebody knows.
Like all of them? Oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah.
You know,
the like, one.
So I wasn't even thinking NSCA because to me, I thought NSCA is going to be a little too much time. I want something else that's like can be good. And I want to say it was like IFPA or something like that. It was some
I don't even know what that is.
I forget what it was. It was some other, I think like a branch off of NSCA or something. But it okay. was one of these relatable things. So here's the deal, Emily. I read the book, and most of the time I was reading through the book, I didn't really agree with what they were saying. Partly because I was, at the time, like super amped on CrossFit, mm-hmm. which I still am, obviously. But I also just didn't agree with it from what I had learned, you know. And I went down to Salt Lake to the online testing facility, and guess what? Failed the test. Because
yeah,
I genuinely like wasn't into it.
Yeah.
And guess what? It has had zero bearing yeah. on my ability to coach and
ability.
Educate myself. I would say arguably the most effective thing people can do is get a certification they are interested in and believe in,
yep.
whatever that is.
Yep.
And then what makes you a good coach is your desire to continually educate yourself.
Yes, I would agree. And we've talked about this, but ain't nobody looking at the letters behind anybody's name.
No. Half the people don't even know what it means.
Right.
We've got Nick in the gym because he is an athletic trainer.
Yes.
Like an MAT or AT, like a...
I forget.
Masters of Athletic Training?
Yes, that's what he
right.
is.
And Nick is smart.
Rocket smart, yeah.
And I mean, like, I think when some people think athletic trainer, they're like, oh, the guy in the high school
yeah,
room
like tape
that
and ankles.
Tapes an ankle? No, yeah. Nick is like, he's smart.
Whiz-bang.
I did not know the difference between a Masters of Athletic Trainer and a PT, like a physical therapist.
Yes.
There's a difference.
There's a difference.
But if someone has, like, Masters of Athletic Training and PT and NSCA and CSCS. Most people don't even know what that means.
Don't even know what it means. Yeah. I mean, and like, this gets to the whole licensure thing. Like, licensure does protect people from kooks.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it also, for sure. And it also does limit people. I mean, I don't know that it does that, honestly. I don't know that it protects people from kooks, because there are kooks out there that have licenses.
Sure. There's kooky doctors and kooky
right.
CrossFit trainers.
But it also makes it much harder for people who really care to actually make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
But the accreditation thing, I agree 100%. Find something that you're passionate about and that rings true with you and get it. And I found it to be just more personally validating and motivating than actually effective in bringing in clientele.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I went and did a CrossFit seminar and got a level one certificate. And for me, that was like
pretty big deal.
It was a big deal. And it was like committing and a step in something that I wanted to do. It wasn't about the letters that I was going to get behind my name if I got them.
Right. Right. It's more about like the information
so,
you obtain.
Yeah, whatever it is you're doing. If you're doing it just to get letters, I wouldn't bother doing it. Right? Yeah. Like, if you don't really care and you just want to have the letters behind your name, whatever. But find something that you're passionate about that rings true with you. Pursue that and learn more about it. And that will motivate you to, if it motivates you to put that into practice, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. And I think the key is figuring out something you believe in. It sounds like, Emily, it's CrossFit for you, which is great, you
yeah.
know? And here's a good example, too. So this past weekend, yeah, I went to an Active Life professional
Wait, have
workshop.
We talked about them on the
no.
podcast before?
Mm-mm. Went to it.
I'd like to think of my new
weekend.
Sponsor, Active Life.
Yeah, so I went to it largely because here's the deal. I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I have much of the desire, but mostly the time to go back to school. I think it would be cool to have like Nick's knowledge, you know, Masters of Athletic Training or physical therapist, and be able yeah. to use and apply these things. Because here's what I think we do exceptionally well at CrossFit Park City is I think we take into consideration people's like pre-existing injuries, nagging things, and we get really creative and we do a really good job of helping work around them to let them kind of recover,
mm-hmm.
keep them moving, part of the community. But what I do not know how to do as well is really make them better,
sure.
like fix those
yeah.
things. Where this is starting to take a step in that direction. And so I took the workshop and I learned about assessments on how to look at flexibility and strength imbalances and things like that. And really, out of all the seminars that I've taken in the past, this, partly because I'm most interested in it, I walked away with probably the most new information that I have any other seminar.
Do they have info that's available for free?
I can't find it.
So,
you know, I started poking around. I didn't see anything. Now, here's the deal, though, right? So I have, like, this base level in knowledge, and I also have a lot of background in CrossFit and programming and getting creative with movements. And there's like a next step that you can take with them, but it's a significant investment, you know, like
yes.
it's a lot. So the workshop is step one. And then the next piece would be, I think what they call the immersion. It's $3,500 for a 12-week course. I mean, granted it's a 12-week course.
Yeah.
$3,500 is not a small amount of money.
No.
So here's
and the nerd part of me is like, well, how long is it going to take me to recoup that?
Right, exactly.
Right.
And like they have their own thoughts on that. But all that aside, so here's just to give you some insight, Emily. Before I kind of dive into the deep end and just be like, oh, you know, I found that I believe in this. I really want to help people in my gym, not just, you know, continue to be a part of the community, get fit, but like help them get better from
mm-hmm.
things that are nagging,
mm-hmm.
is I am going to take the next 6 to 8 weeks to work with clients that I really think I can help. And I'm going to challenge the crap out of myself by thinking about logically, how do I program for them to make them better with the information that I know,
mm-hmm.
and bugging Nick.
Yeah.
And talking to you. We've already done it. You know, hey, what do you think about this, guys? What do you think about that? And that's going to be how I start my learning process. And then if I feel like I need to take it to the next level or there's more value there, I can look into the immersion. But yeah, at some point, Emily, you have to start doing it to learn it.
Yeah, and you're not just – and the thing you did on the weekend is helpful to start doing that, right?
Exactly.
And you're into it. It's not that you took this thing this weekend because you think that you need the letters behind your name.
No, exactly.
Right?
100%.
Because for right now, you and I are in different spots with this. You asked me about it, and I was like, oh, man, my brain is full. Like, I'm trying to learn to fly a plane. And like,
yeah.
I think it's valuable, and it interests me. And the only reason I would have done it last weekend is just to, like, say that I did it. I just don't have the bandwidth right now to do what you're doing is, like, start to use it and practice it and put it into
– yep.
And so it doesn't mean anything to me. It doesn't, it's not a stepping stone for me to start actually doing it. So waste it on me.
Yeah.
I think.
You're not going to implement it, why spend the money to have the letters after your name?
Yeah.
And same thing for any,
accreditation.
Certification,
yep.
Certificate course. Like, why have it if you're not going to use it?
Yep.
It's just silliness.
Yep.
Anyway. Yeah. But, that's what we have going on. You guys already heard kind of our pet peeves. Doug's got a one-on-one coming up.
Yep.
I need to eat before I eat my hand because I'm so hungry. We're going to be back next week chit-chatting. Thanks for the reviews, though, guys. Those questions really insightful and valuable. I think they create good conversation. So leave some more
indeed.
Of those. And, put that 5-star next to them.
Thanks, my new sponsor, Porsche Automobiles.
Whatever. They haven't given us anything.
No,
I want that
anything.
2-stroke dirt bike.
Oh, man, I really do want one of those.
I saw a dirt bike outside of Carl Malone Power Sports the other day. I actually stopped. I thought of you, Doug, and I stopped to look at it because it was like a pretty brand new looking KTM.
Yeah.
4-stroker, though.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was nice, dude. It was in good shape.
I thought about the Idaho City 100 again last night.
I'd like to thank our new sponsor, Idaho City 100. Thanks for the free
those
registration.
Guys. Yeah, those guys.
Those guys are not giving anything out. Oh, man.
I thought about it.
Are you prepped? You ready?
I just thought about how hard it was.
You're just starting to get your head around it is what you're doing. How you're going to crush it.
Man, that was so hard.
Dude, devastation nation.
like when I describe it, I think to myself, like, that was – and you've done some the harder physical and mental things than I've done. But sure. For me, I'm like, that was one of the hardest, like, things that I have done mentally and physically. Like,
yeah.
It was really tough.
Yeah.
It was tough.
You know what? What's it like in perspective for me?
I can't even explain it to people, though. That frustrates me a little. I can't put it into words to people.
Me too, because I think they just
they're like,
think
oh, wait, you're riding your motorcycle?
Because it's a motorized vehicle, it must be easy.
Like you're riding a motorcycle around?
Oh, that's easy.
And I'm like.
Like it's got a throttle. It does all the work for you. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what puts it in perspective, too, is we've got a guy, Nathan, that comes to the gym. I worked for him with some Ski Utah stuff, and he finished. Not only did he do, finished.
Didn't just
I think like in the top 10.
Yeah.
The Dakar Rally on a dirt bike. This guy's is like, it's like a 10-day event, and it's 8 to 11 hours a day on your dirt bike. So imagine like going and doing it again the next day and then waking up and again. The riding is different.
Sure.
But still.
I don't know. When you come
legit,
up. When
the Dakar Rally, a guy died there this year.
Yeah, well, I mean, people.
Like, it's crazy.
People die riding motorcycles. Into
crazy
oh,
pants.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you see the truck?
Yeah, run over that guy.
No, the other one where the truck just launched off of the...
Oh, I did see that. Straight to flat.
Straight to flat.
Oh, imagine just driving off like...
a 40-foot cliff.
Yeah, right to flat.
At like 50 miles an hour.
People in there are shorter.
Yeah, not good.
Like...
Not good. I think one of the guys broke his back.
I don't doubt it.
Nope. There's only so much shock absorbing in those trucks.
But when you figure out a way to describe how difficult that was... You let me know if you have, like, a good way to relate it to people.
Imagine.
Because, like a CrossFit stuff I can relate to, right? Like, hey, do, like, if you're at the CrossFit games, like, do a bunch of workouts and then imagine how much it matters to you and care and, like, what you took to get there and all that stuff. But that stuff's not really
that
applicable to this event.
Imagine having to, for 7 to 8 hours, stand on a BOSU ball while squeezing pink weights in your hands and doing complex mathematical problems for 7 hours.
Okay.
Yeah,
and,
right?
And then every,
you get real tired.
And then every 8 minutes,
you fall.
You have to do a 350-pound deadlift on a hill.
Yeah. Right?
Or three.
It's like that weird exhausting.
And then you have a helmet on with goggles.
You're sweaty.
And it's 90 degrees.
They fog up. Then you can't see your pink dumbbells in front of your hands anymore.
So somebody set that up and do it. Video yourself doing it and tell if it's hard or easy.
Oh, please. If you guys do that and tell me who Bob Horsworth is, send you a free t-shirt. In the meantime, have a great week, guys. We'll talk to you later.